Voices of Today presents A Dialogue at Fiesole by Alfred Austin. Narrated by Leanne Yao and Dennis Daly. Halt here a while. That mossy cushioned seat is for your queenliness a natural throne, as I am fitly couched on this low sward here at your feet.
And I, in thought, at yours, my adoration, deepest.
Deep, so deep, I shall have no thought wherewith to fathom it, or, shall I say, no flight of song so high to reach the heaven whence you look down on me, my star, my far-off star.
If far, yet fixed, no shifting planet leaving you to seek where now it shines.
A little light, if near, glows livelier than the largest orb in heaven.
But little lights burn quickly out, and then another must be kindled. Stars gleam on, unreached, but unextinguished. Now, the song.
Yes, yes, the song, your music to my verse.
In this sequestered dimple of the hill, forgotten by the furrow, none will hear. Only the nightingales, that misconceive the midday darkness of the cypresses for curtained night.
And they will hush to hear a sudden singing, sweeter than their own. Delay not the enchantment, but begin.
If you were here, if you were here, the cattle bells would sound more clear. The cataracts would flash and leap more silvery from steep to steep. The farewell of a rosier glow soften the summit of the snow. The valley take a tenderer green in dewy gorge and dim ravine. The loving bramble flowers embrace the rough thorn with a gentler grace. The gentian open bluer eyes in bluer air to bluer skies. The frail anemone delay the jonquil hasten on its way. The primrose linger past its time, the violet prolong its prime. And every flower that seeks the light on alpine lowland, alpine height, where April smile without its tear, if you were here, if you were here. If you were here, the spring would wake a fuller music in the brake. The mottled mizzle thrush would pipe a note more ringing, rich and ripe. The white-throat peer above its nest with brighter eye and down your breast. The cuckoo greet the amorous year, chanting its joy without its cheer. The lark betroth the earth and sky with peals of heavenlier minstrelsy. And every wildwood bird rejoice on fleeter wing with sweeter voice, if you were here. If you were here, I too should feel the moisture of the springtide steal along my veins and rise and roll through every fibre of my soul. In my life breast would melt the snow and all its channels flush and flow with waves of life and streams of song frozen and silent all too long. A something in each wilding flower, something in every scented shower, something in flitting voice and wing would drench my heart and bid me sing. Not in this feeble halting note, but like the mull's exulting throat, with carol full and carol clear. If you were here, if you were hear.
Hark! How the hills have caught the strain and seem loath to surrender it, and now enclose its cadence in the silence of their folds. Still, as you sang, the verses had the wing of that which buoyed them, and your airy voice lifted my drooping music from the ground. Now that you cease, there is an empty nest from which the full-fledged melody hath flown.
Dare I with you contend in metaphor? It might not be so fanciful to show that nest and eggs and music all are yours. But modesty in poets is too rare to be reproved for error. Let me then be crowned full queen of song, albeit in sooth I am but consort, owing my degree to the real sceptred sovereign at my side. But now repay my music, and in kind, unfolding to my ear the youngest flower of song that seems to blossom all the year. Delay not the enchantment, but begin.
Yet you are here, yes, you are here. There's not a voice that wakes the ear in vale frequented, upland lone, but steals some sweetness from your own. When dream and darkness have withdrawn, I feel you in the freshening dawn. You fill the noonday's hushed repose. You scent the dew of daylight's close. The twilight whispers you are nigh. The stars announce you in the sky. The moon, when most alone in space, fills all the heavens with your face. In darkest hour of deepest night, I see you with the spirit's sight, and slumber murmurs in my ear. Hush, she is here. Sleep. She is here.
Hark how you bear your secret when you sing. Imagination's universal scope can swift endue this grey and shapeless world with the designs and colour of the sky. What want you, with our fixed and lumpish forms, you unconditioned arbiter of air? Yet you are here. Yes, you are here. The span of nimble fancy leaps the interval, and brings the distant nearer than the near.
Distance is nearer than proximity. When distance longs, proximity doth not.
The near is always distant to the mind, that craves for satisfaction of its end. Nor doth the distance ever feel so far as when the end is touched. Retard that goal, prolonging appetite beyond the feast that feeds anticipation.
Specious foil! That parries every stroke before 'tis made, yet surfeit's self doth not more surely cloy than endless fasting.
Still a swifter cure waits on too little than attends too much. While disappointment merely woundeth hope, the deadly blow by disenchantment dealt strikes at the heart of faith. O happy you, the favourites of fancy, who replace illusion with illusion, and conceive fresh cradles in the dark womb of the grave, while we, prosaic victims, prove that time kills love while leaving loveless life alive. You still, divinely duped, sing deathless love, and with your wizard music, you once again make winter spring. Yet surely you forgive that I have too much pity for the flowers, children and poets culled to fling away, to be an April nosegay.
How you swell the common chorus! Women, who are wronged so roughly by men's undiscerning word, as though one pattern served to show them all, should be more just to poets. These, in truth, diverge from one another, nowise less than women, vaguely labelled. Children some, with childish voice and nature, lyric bards, weaklings that on life's threshold sweetly wail, but never from that silvery treble pass into the note and chant of manliness. Their love is like their verse, a frail desire, a fluttering fountain falling feebly back into its shallow origin. Next, there are the poets of contention, wrestlers born, who challenge iron circumstance and fail. Generous and strong, withal, not strong enough, since lacking sinewy wisdom, hard as life. The love of these is like the lightning spear, and shrivels whom it touches. They consume all things within their reach, and, last of all, their lonely selves. And then through time they tower, sublime but charred, and wear on their high fronts the gloomy glory of the sunlit pine. But the great gods of song, in clear white light, the radiance of their godhead, calmly dwell, and with immutable cold star-like gaze scan both the upper and the underworld, as it revolves, themselves serenely fixed. Their bias is the bias of the sphere, that turns always, but turns away from none, save to return to it. They have no feud with gods or men, the living or the dead, the past or present, and their words complete life's incompleteness with a healing note. For they are not more sensitive than strong, more wise than tender, understanding all, at peace with all, at peace with life and death, and love that gives a meaning unto life and takes from death the meaning and the sting, at peace with hate and every opposite. Were I but one of these, presumptuous thought, even you, the live fulfilment of such dreams as these secrete, would hazard well your love on my more largely loving. 'Twould be you, yes, even you, that first would flag and fail in either of my choosing, you whose wing would droop on mine and pray to be upborne. And when my pinions did no more suffice for that their double load, then softly down, softly and smoothly as descending lark that hath fulfilled its rhapsody in heaven, and with diminished music must decline to earthy sounds and concepts, I should curb illimitable longings to the range of lower aspiration. Were I such, but since I am not...
Am not? Who shall say, save she who tests unhappily to her loss? 'Tis better left untested. Strange that you, who can imagine whatso thing you will, should lack imagination to appraise imagination at its topmost worth. Now wield your native sceptre, and extend your fancy forth where Florence overbrims in eddies fairer even than herself. Look how the landscape smiles complacently at its own beauty, as indeed it may. Villa and vineyard, each a separate home, containing possibilities unseen, materials for your pleasure. Now disport, which homestead may it please my lord of song to chalk for his, as those rough Frenchmen did, who came with bow-legged Charles to justify Savonarola's scourgeful prophecies? Shall it be that one gazing in our face, not jealous of its beauty, but exposed to all the wantonness of sun and air, with roses girt, with roses garlanded, and balustraded terrace topped with jars of clove carnations, unambitious roof, Italian equivalent to house love in a cottage? Why, the very place for her you once described. Now wait, let me see, can I recall the lines? Yes, thus they ran. Do you remember them? Or are they now a chronicle forgotten and erased from that convenient palimpsest, the heart?
In dewy covert of her eyes, the secret of the violet lies. The sun and wind caress and pair in the lithe wavelets of her hair. The fragrance soft, the warm, soft south hovers about her honeyed mouth, and when she moves, she floats through air like zephyr-wafted gossamer. Hers is no lore of dumb, dead books, her learning liveth in her looks, and still she shows in meek replies wisdom enough to deem you wise. Her voice as soothing is and sweet as whispers of the waving wheat, and in the moisture of her kiss is April-like deliciousness.
like gloaming air, she doth inspire a vague and infinite desire, and like the stars, though out of sight, filleth the loneliness of night. Come how she may, or slow or fleet, she brings the morning on her feet. Gone, leaves behind a nameless pain, like the sadness of a silenced strain.
A youthful dream.
Yet memory can surmise that young dream fruited to reality. Then, like reality, was dream no more. All dreams are youthful. You are dreaming still. What lovely visions done is in your sleep. Let me recall another, for I know all you have written, thought, and felt, and much you neither thought nor felt, but only sang. A wondrous gift, a godlike gift, that breathes into our exiled clay unexiled lives, manlier than Adam, comelier than Eve. That massive villa, we both knew so well, with one face set towards Settignano, one gazing at Bello Sguardo, and its rear locked from the north by clustered cypresses, that seem like fixed, colossal sentinels, and tower above its tower, but look not in, might be abode for her whom you conceived in trope so mystical, you must forgive if recollection trips.
To dwell with her is calmly to abide through every change of time and every flux of tide. In her the present, past, and future meet, the Father and the Son in dove-like paraclete. She holdeth silent intercourse with night, still journeying with the stars and shining with their light. Her love illumination, her embrace, the sweep of angels' wings across a mortal's face. Her lap is piled with autumn fruits, her brow crowned with the blossoming trails that smile from April's bough. Like wintry stars that shine with frosty fire, her loftiness excites to elevate desire. To love her is to burn with such a flame as lights the lamp which bears the sanctuary's name. That lamp burns on forever day and night. Before her mystic shrine, I am its acolyte.
The merest foam of fancy, foam and spray.
Foam drift of fancy that hath ebbed away. See how the very simile rebukes man's all-unsea-like longings. For confess, while ocean still returns, the puny waves of mortal love are sucked into the sand, their motion felt, their music heard no more. Look when the vines are linking hands, and seem as pausing from the dance of spring, or just preparing to renew it. Round and round on the green carpet of the bladed corn that spreads about their feet. Corn, vine and fig, almond and mulberry, cherry and pear and peach, not taught to know their place, but left to range up to the villa's walls, windows and doors, and peep into its life and smile good day, a portion of its homeliness and joy. A poet's again, if you but dream it such. A roof for her, to whom you wrote, I wonder who she was, this saucy sonnet. Saucy withal sweet, and oh, how true of the reflected love you poets render to your worshippers.
True as the dial to the sun.
You are the sun, and I the dial sweet, so you can mark on me what time you will. If you move slowly, how can I move fleet? And when you hold, I too must fain be still. Chide not the cloudy humours of my brows. if you behold no settled sunshine there. Rather upbraid your own sweet and allow, my looks cannot be foul if yours be fair. Then from the heaven of your high witchery shine, and I with smiles shall watch the hours glide by. You have no mood that is not straightway mine. My cheek but takes complexion from your eye. All that I am dependeth so on you. What clouds the sun must cloud the dial too.
No man should quarrel with his past, and I maintain no feud with mine. Do we not ripen and mellow in love, unto the close, thanks no more to the present than the past? First love is fresh, but fugitive as spring, a wilding flower no sooner plucked than faded, and summer's sultry fervour ends in storm, recriminating thunder, wasteful tears, and angry gleams of lightning menaces. Give me October's meditative haze, its gossamer mornings, dewy wimpled eves, dewy and fragrant, fragrant and secure, the long slow sound of farmwood wending wanes, when homely love sups quiet among its sheaves, sups among its sheaves, its sickle at its side, and all is peace, peace and plump fruitfulness.
Picture of all we dream and we desire. Autumn's grave cheerfulness and sober bliss, rich resignation, humble constancy. For, prone to bear the load piled up by life, we, once youth's pasture season at an end, submit to crawl. Unbroken to the last, you spurn the goad of stern taskmaster time. Even mid-autumn harvest you demand returning hope and blossom of the spring, all seasons and sensations and at once, or in too quick succession. Do we blame? We envy, rather, the eternal youth we cannot share, but youth is pitiless, and marching onward neither asks nor seeks who falls behind. Thus women who are wise, beside their thresholds knitting homely gear, wave wistful salutation as you pass, and think of you regretfully when gone. A soft regret, a sweet regret that is only the mellow fruit of unplucked joy. Now improvise some other simple strain, that with harmonious cadence may attune the vain and hazard discords of discourse.
When love was young, it asked for wings, that it might still be roaming. And away it sped, by fancy led, through dawn and noon and gloaming. Each daintiness that blooms and blows, it wooed in honeyed metre, and when it won the sweetest sweet, it flew off to a sweeter, when love was young. When love was old, it craved for rest, for home and hearth and haven, for quiet talks, round sheltered walks, and long lawns smoothly shaven. And what love sought, at last it found, a roof, a porch, a garden, and from a fond unquestioning heart, peace, sympathy, and pardon. When love was old.
Simple in sooth, and haply true, withal too autumnal even for my heart. I never weary of your vernal note. Carol again, and sing me back my youth with the redundant melodies of spring.
I breathe my heart in the heart of the rose, the rose that I pluck and send you, with a prayer that the perfume its leaves enclose may kiss and caress and tend you, caress and tend you till I can come to the garden where first I found you, and the thought that as yet in the rose is dumb can ripple in music around you. O rose that will shortly be her guest, you may well look happy at leaving. Will you lie in the cradle her snowy breast doth rock with its gentle heaving? Will you mount the throne of a hazel hair that waves like a summer billow? Or be hidden and hushed at nightfall prayer in the folds of her dimpled pillow? And when she awakes at dawn to feel if you have been dreaming with her, then the whole of your secret, sweet rose, reveal, and say that I'm coming hither. And when there is silence in earth and sky, and peace from the cares that cumber, she must not ask if your leaves or I be clasped in her perfumed slumber.
Give me your hand, and if you will, keep mine and graft in yours, as slowly thus we skirt La Doccia's dark declivity, and make Arthwood Majano's pathless pines a path to lead us onward haply where it may. Lo, the Carrara mountains flush to view, that in the noonday were not visible. Shall we not fold this comfort to our hearts, humbly rejoice to think, as there are heights seen only in the sunset, so our lives, if that they lack not loftiness, may wear a glow of glory on their furrowed fronts until they faint and fade into the night.
We hope that you have enjoyed this production of A Dialogue at Fiesole by Alfred Austin, narrated by Leanne Yao and Dennis Daly, audio edited by Dennis Daly. This recording may be freely downloaded and distributed as long as Voices of Today is credited as the author. It may not be used for commercial purposes or distributed in an edited or remixed form. For further information about Voices of Today or to explore its catalogue, please visit voicesoftoday.org. Thank you for listening.